880 AM, The Biz, South Florida's only all-business station, welcomes you to Freed on Business. He grew up in South Florida, has been in business here since the early 1990s, and has closed over $1 billion in deals. He's seen it all. He always has an opinion, and he's always ready to share it. Informed, entertaining, and connected, he has his finger on the throbbing pulse of South Florida's business community. He's Jim Freed, exclusively on 880 AM, The Biz. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, here's your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we've got our first show, AJ. That's After One. Want to welcome Big D driving the train out there. Johnny is doing the social media 305 gig back there. And we've got an awesome show for you. We've got Lauren Book. We're going to talk about walking in Lauren's shoes. We're going to find out where Lauren is today on her walk across the state to fight child abuse. Johnny, high five. We're going to talk about investing in single-family rental housing, the big ticket idea these days. We're going to take the institutional approach. We're going to talk about that with a group that's from California that's going to be at the IMN conference next week. We're going to be talking to Chad Carpenter. He's the chairman and chief executive of Reven Housing REAP. We're going to talk about what his strategy is. We're also going to have a couple of University of Miami medical students on talking about their program to help eliminate the dirty needles on the street and why that's important to you. If you stick your hand somewhere and feel a stick needle in there, it's not a good thing. They're going to tell us what we can do to avoid that. And we're going to have Bruce Turkel. He's going to talk about keeping it simple and getting results. In the business world today, the stock market went up even though the jobless reports were not encouraging. Why? Because people were focusing overseas. The stimulus efforts in other countries are what's taken effect today. Big hits in Japan and their stimulus is helping us feel good about what's going to go on here at home. So stick with us. We're going to have a great show today. We're going to kick things off with Lauren and with our friends that are buying rental housing, buying REO homes and turning it into for rent housing. We'll be right back after this short break. Dave, take us out, bud.
Hey everybody, this is John Mahoney with socialmedia305.com. Many of you might know us as the online voice for the Freed on Business radio show. And what we do, we provide you access to your community using social media platforms. Now we know most businesses are looking to take advantage of this and stay in touch with their community and their customers, but they're not quite sure what platforms to use or even when to use them. We can help you overcome this hurdle. We know where the market is, how to find them, how to track the conversations, and most importantly, how to engage your brand. You can reach us at any time at 305-710-2273. Again, call us at 305-710-2273 or feel free to drop us an email at contact@socialmedia305.com. Again, that's contact@socialmedia305.com.
What does it mean when you're the first to use a patient's own stem cells to repair his damaged heart? When you're the first to develop life-saving techniques to treat a baby still inside its mother's womb? It means all at once, one health system becomes a magnet for world-renowned specialists in every field of medicine. A place where doctors spend their lives discovering ways to save yours. That's why every year our life-saving innovations attract patients from every corner of the globe. Shouldn't we be your first choice for healthcare too? We are UHealth, the University of Miami Health System, South Florida's most advanced medical care. Learn more at uhealthsystem.com or call 1-877-243-4340.
If I suspect a child's being harmed,
I commit.
I'll do something.
I'll report it.
Even if I don't have all the details.
Even if I'm not sure.
I'll take a step to protect a child.
For me, it's just a call.
Just a call.
Just a call. For a child.
It's everything.
I commit my eyes.
My voice.
To protect our children.
Don't miss the signs. Report child abuse. Call 1-800-962-2873. Sponsored by the Florida Department of Children and Families, Lawrence Kids, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
This is the Wall Street Business Network.
South Florida's only business radio station. 880 AM. The Biz. You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we are back, and I want to remind my friends out there, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, Volvo, and Jaguar. Exceptional cars all, and they come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, and a personal assistant that you can call for anything, anytime for an entire year. Always the best price. Always the best service. Always Warren Henry. And I want to remind my friends out there to look for me at the Ackerman Centerfit U.S. Real Estate Summit 2013. It's going to be next Friday at the JW Marriott in downtown Miami. We're going to talk about all the good topics you're going to want to know about. We have Peter Linneman, a conversation with one of the strategic thinkers in our industry. We're going to have urban land redevelopment featuring Craig Robbins. Oh, man, you don't want to miss that. Steve Owens from Swire will be there, too. Hospitality Sector Focus will have Lee Pillsbury from Thayer Lodging and Richard Millard from the Trust Hospitality. Global Markets Review will feature Rick Sinkler from E&Y. And we're also going to talk about capital markets and real estate transactional structuring. We're going to have a live remote from that event. That live remote will broadcast again next Thursday. So you want to make sure next Thursday is all real estate, all meet, all the time. I'm working here waiting for Lauren. Lauren is supposed to call in from the road. We expect her to call in any moment. In the meantime, we're going to have coming up Chad Carpenter, who is the chairman of board and CEO of Reven Housing REIT. Chad's going to join me in a minute. He's going to be speaking at the IMN conference. You still have time to go register for the IMN single family conference. If you want to, make sure you go to www.imn.org and look for their single family aggregation strategies conference. It's going to be terrific. I'm going to be there. Lots of great people are going to be there. It is the idea and currency that is very important right now. We're also going to be on April 20th at the University of Florida Bergstrom Center for Real Estate Studies Scholarship Golf Tournament. If you want more information on that, go to ufbergstromcentermiami@gmail.com. That's ufbergstromcentermiami@gmail.com. All kinds of sponsorships are available. It's a great day to help some kids get an education and for you to do some awesome networking. We're waiting for Lauren Book to call in. We're waiting for Mr. Carpenter to call in. And in the meantime, let's talk a little bit about my social media experiences. Johnny, just come on in, bro. My social media experiences that I've had, I just broke through 1,800 people on LinkedIn, and I'm trying to bring him in. Yep. And my social media stuff is going crazy. And one of my contacts on social media told me about PhilanthroFest, and I'll be there Saturday, April 6th. Saturday, April 6th at the Miami-Dade Wilson campus talking about PhilanthroFest with all of my friends. Now we're waiting for Lauren to call in. We're waiting for Chad Carpenter to call in. And what we need to do right now is, Johnny, come on in here, man. I thought you were coming in to talk social media with me for a second.
Absolutely, James. Great to be on the show.
Okay, well,
I hear the phone's ringing in the back.
I don't think you're going to have much time unless Dave is. Dave, how are we doing in there, man? Oh, I'm
all
getting
right.
The sign from
Listen.
Larry.
Yep, and we have UM here today.
Well, your mic's not live there, John.
Oh, nice. All right. That's how we roll.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're going to have UM come on. We've got some of the UM kids right here right now. Why don't we bring some of the UM folks into the studio right now? Thank you so much. It's really nice to see you. Dave, do we have the other? Well, now I got Lauren. I can't hear you, Dave. Dave? Speak into the mic, Dave. Okay. Do you have anybody? Well, okay. What we're going to do is we're going to bring on Chad Carpenter right now. Chad is calling in from the West Coast. He's calling in from California. And Chad is the chairman of the board and CEO of Reven Housing REIT. Chad, are you out there, man?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, Jim. How you doing?
All right. Welcome to the show. Really appreciate your joining us today. We'll be seeing each other at the IMN conference in a couple of weeks here in Miami. But the number one thing we're doing today is talking about your cutting edge business strategy, which helped me out. That's the aggregation of some of these small owners of these rental housing companies. How are you doing that? Are you doing a REIT roll-up? What's going on with that?
Yeah, Reven Housing REIT is an existing public company. We're quoted and trading over-the-counter OTC markets, and our ticker symbol is RVEN. And our goal is to be one of the leading single-family housing REITs in the U.S. And a lot of the investors out there, the majority of them, from the private investors to the institutional investors, they're mainly buying the REOs, the foreclosed houses, the trustee sales, and the short sales. And what we're doing is we're taking a core approach where we're looking to buy portfolios of single-family houses that are already fixed and already rented. And there's currently 14 million of them out there right now. And they've traditionally been owned by non-institutional investors. So what we're doing is we're trying to aggregate or roll up part of the 14 million into a public format. And then our goal is to deliver a yield to a public shareholder. And it's much different from the guys and gals or investors who are buying them one at a time, kind of exercising or executing the value-add strategy of buy, fix, and rent, or buy, fix, and sell.
Well, here's my question that's really dogged me about this entire segment and sector. Maybe you can help me out. How do you manage the upkeep and give a good, solid yield on a residential home when they need the lawn fixed, the house roof done, and each submarket is basically totally different in the recovery and in the people that you need to use across your platform? How are you going to get economies of scale?
Well, the first thing we do is before we buy any portfolios, we do a thorough institutional level due diligence so we know what we're getting into. And then what you do is underwrite these portfolios. You allocate an appropriate amount of expense for repairs and maintenance, for management, for vacancy, for turnover, taxes, insurance, and even releasing costs and CapEx. So when you allocate enough expense above the NOI line and you still have a healthy net operating income, that should enable you to effectively manage the properties appropriately, fix them appropriately, and have a dividend to pay your shareholders.
Awesome.
And then to get economies of scale, I mean, what we're doing is we're buying in portfolios. We're not buying one at a time. So it should enable us to grow quicker. And then what we do is our philosophy is to outsource property management. We want to keep local people in their jobs. And to give you an example, if you had 1,000 houses in Florida, we were buying them from you, and you already had them fixed and rented, you already have property management set up. So as long as your property management firm is qualified, we would hire that property management firm.
Now, exactly which markets are you targeting and why? I mean, I recently read an article in the paper down here that the Florida markets are tops for home rental investments.
Well, we're looking right now kind of what we call the smile of the U.S., California down through Arizona to Texas, up through Florida, up to North Carolina, even Virginia. And we picked out selected markets. If you look at our website at revenhousingreit.com, we have our list of identified target markets we're looking to acquire in. And the South, U.S., seems to have better rental opportunities from an investment standpoint. There seems to be more job growth and lower unemployment. And all the kind of reports for single-family rentals predict that the kind of South U.S. Has better rental potential, increase in rental rates and potential appreciation across the board.
Now, you're buying these, you're going to aggregate them. You've got to have an exit strategy in mind.
Well, no. I actually, no. I mean, as a public REIT, we're required to be a passive investor, and our goal is to aggregate, not sell, and just be a long-term holder of these assets in a REIT, and deliver. The goal is to deliver a quarterly dividend to shareholders on a clockwork basis, and then over time, we're hoping to see appreciation of the houses and hopefully higher FFO and higher net income, so it'll be value in the company. But the plan is not to sell the houses at this point at all.
Oh, awesome! So then how do people get more information on what you're trying to accomplish? You're a public company, right?
Yeah, we're a public company. We just recently filed our 10-K. I'd recommend, if somebody's interested in learning more about us, you can go to the SEC.gov and plug in Revin Housing REIT in the top right corner, and all our public filings will come up. And our recent filing was a 10-K. The 10-K is a really good document. It's a really good summary of what we've done and where we're at to kind of get an investor up to speed if they're interested in looking at us.
Oh, well, that's really awesome. If you want to give somebody a takeaway before we go to break, Chad, what might that be?
Well, it's interesting. This whole residential asset class and phenomena, there's so many ways to invest in it, and everybody's making money who's investing in it, from buying loans to buying trustee sales to buying short sales to even doing what we're doing. And there's no wrong way to play this strategy. It's the right time to do it. And you just got to make sure, you're not using too expensive equity or too expensive debt. And but for the most part, everybody seems to be doing really well and making money.
Well, Mark,
some people make more than others.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you're going to make a pretty good penny on this one yourself. And if folks want to get more information and meet you in person, they can do that at the IMN conference coming up, right?
Yeah, IMN is doing the single family housing aggregation forum. It's the second one. They did the first one in Arizona, and they had, I think, over 700 people for the first one, which was really phenomenal. And I think they're probably going to get 1,000 people at this one. It's at the Trump Doral Hotel and Resort in Miami. And this asset class, another takeaway maybe for everybody on the radio is,
no, please.
This asset class is being institutionalized right now. And the naysayers or the people that don't believe it, it's already happened with the quality of institutional investors in the space and public companies coming out. There's two public companies that will do their IPOs in the next 3 months. So there'll be four of us out there that are public. Right now, it's Revin Housing REIT and Solar Bay Trust are the only two public companies today, but there's going to be more. And, I think it was 15 years ago, there was one multifamily REIT that was public. Now there's 15. So I think there's going to be 10 single-family housing REITs when the dust settles over the next 5 years, and there's going to be some big ones.
Well, this sounds great, I hope I'm talking to the CEO and chairman of one of those. One of ones is going to be really one of the big ones.
Well, my focus is profitability first, size second.
Spoken like a true CEO. I want to thank you, Chad. I'm looking forward to seeing you at the IMN conference. If people want more information on the upcoming IMN single family conference, they can go to www.imn.org/conference/single-family-aggregation-strategy. Oh, that's too long. Just go to the imn.org homepage. You're going to find this. It's a great program.
Click real estate, and then you'll see it pop up.
This is great, Chad. I can't wait to meet you in person. I do appreciate our meeting on the phone. I want to thank Joanne DeVito for setting this up.
Thank you so much. Good luck.
It's my pleasure. We'll be right back after this short break. We're going to have our experts from UHealth talking to us about dirty needles and why you got to make sure that if you touch one, what you got to do. Back after this.
Are you an event marketer that has no time to worry about social media marketing and promotions?
This is where socialmedia305.com can work in conjunction with you. We specialize in promoting events, marketing, doing recaps, and most importantly, having team members on site. If you're interested in having your event promoted, give us a call at 305-710-2273. Again, that's 305-710-2273. And always remember, socialmedia305.com is a social relations company.
South Florida's only business radio station.
Part of the Wall Street Business Network.
880 AM, The Biz.
Another call in with him? Can we do that?
You guys are overworking me here.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we are back with more Freed on Business. We are really rocking and rolling today, and we've got a great guest on. We have got the folks from U Health. They have delivered to us one of our best guests yet. And we've got Hansel Tooks. All right. I got it right on the third one. Thank you, Hansel. And we've also got one of your collaborators on the line, too, Mark.
Hey, yeah, this is Mark Hirsch. How you doing?
All
along
right.
With Chanel Diaz and Deani Liu, two other co-founders.
Oh, great. Thank you so very much. Well, we've got all these folks on, and you read about this on the front page of today's Miami Herald, and it's something that I've been aware of for a long time, and that's that the intravenous drug users pass a lot of bad things by using the same needle. And many other forward-looking communities have done something about this issue, but there's nothing going on in Florida. Take it from there, guys.
Well, Miami is an interesting city because it's at the intersection of both drug abuse and infectious disease epidemic. We have over 10,000 injection drug users in our city, and we also have the highest rate of HIV in the country.
Yeah, that's something that I was aware of from the very beginning, and that they were being very xenophobic and blaming it on the Haitians. What was the story with that?
Well, I have to admit that that's before my time, because I'm only 31 years old.
Oh, God, it is before your time. Oh, you're a puppy, man. I'm an old man. But so then let's go beyond that then. So what's going on with the transmission with the intravenous drugs and stuff like that? Why? How can we stop the transmission of AIDS?
So clean needles aren't available to people in Florida who are injecting illegal drugs. Chapter 893 of the Florida statutes prohibits the transfer of a syringe to somebody known to inject illegal drugs. So basically, there's a shortage of needles. People share needles. People reuse needles, and that introduces HIV, hepatitis, and it also introduces bacteria from the skin and the environment into the people's bloodstream.
Well, let's talk about my old man perspective for a minute again. It used to be you'd watch some TV show or a movie, and some guy would get his kit out. He'd have his own personal needle in there, get the thing, put it on his arm, you know, get the heated up spoon. Are you too young to remember all that stuff?
I've seen the movie.
I've seen that Ray Charles movie with what's his name? Jamie Foxx.
The thing about the saxophone guy.
Ray Charles the pianist, but yeah, he injects drugs that way in that movie. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, the Ray Charles. I'm sorry. I got my jazz guy movies mixed up here. I'm so sorry. But so why is there a resistance? It seems like a very basic public health answer.
Well, last week we were in Tallahassee and we presented to the House Health Quality Subcommittee, and this bipartisan committee of 7 Republicans and 5 Democrats agreed with you. They thought the same thing. They voted unanimously for this legislation because they think that it is also a public safety issue and that these programs should be instituted throughout the state to give the injection drug users clean needles.
Well, so what is the opposition saying? Maybe we can get one of your friends on the phone to help us with that.
So a lot of people do tend to have this initial strong reaction that they think that making a clean needle available is going to somehow increase drug use or encourage drug use. The data actually shows quite the opposite, that people, once they start becoming involved with one of these programs, they're 5 times more likely to enter a drug rehab program. They're 40% more likely to become employed 6 months after starting the program. And, something that the idea that it encourages someone to use drugs. By the time you're at the point where you're using a needle to administer an illegal drug to yourself, you're way beyond the point of caring whether it's, really caring whether it's clean or dirty. I mean, you've gone through your times of smoking and taking something orally and insufflate, snorting something. I mean, when you're at the point of injecting something, it's not, now that a clean needle is available, I'm going to, start using IV heroin, it's not that at all. So it doesn't encourage any new drug use. It's a means of protecting people against these infections, encouraging them to do something responsible, take at least a little bit of ownership over their personal health, and provides that point of contact with this very hard-to-reach population where we can then encourage them to also take other steps towards improving their life as well.
Now, Hansel, so let's say this law passes. You guys are going to get in a van and drive around the street and throw out boxes of needles at people?
Well, it will be more organized than that, Jim. We're going to have a mobile unit that will go to areas in the city with known injection drug use, and there will be schedules posted. We'll have an entire marketing campaign, and injectors in the city will know when they can come to the van, and they can get their clean needles, and they can also get referrals to drug treatment. They can get HIV testing and counseling. They can get hepatitis vaccinations. But it likely will be a mobile unit going around the city.
Well, actually, I think it's a great idea. And even though these people seem to be disenfranchised somewhat from our social services system, I got to believe that if you're going to get this approved and the momentum that you have behind your whole plan, that you will make sure that people that are outside of our normal channels of communication do get the information.
Right. Well, in the study that I conducted as a public health student that sort of inspired all of this work, we interviewed 448 injection drug users. And this is a very difficult to reach population. So we know how to use our sampling methods to get to these people. In that study, we interviewed injection drug users and we were comparing to San Francisco, a city that has needle exchange programs that distribute over 2.4 million needles a year to their injection drug users. And we found that our users in Miami were 30 times as likely to throw their needles in public.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I read that statistic. Now, I don't usually, travel in areas like where you might find these the intravenous drug users. And so I really don't think I've seen too many syringes standing around. But it only takes one, right?
Well, you would be surprised. When I was driving here today, I saw some areas of the city where I found needles right near where we are right now. We took the area of the city that had the highest drug arrests, and we randomly selected blocks to walk. And that's when I found over 300 needles, which was 8 times as many as were found in San Francisco. And they were actually in all parts of the city, downtown, around here in the Little Havana where we are now, and in Coconut Grove, in Liberty City, in Overtown. They were really, it was a citywide problem.
It's a citywide problem. It's actually, I think, a statewide problem. I think that some of our most at-risk people are the ones that are unfortunately subjected to this, and we're always judged at how we treat the most at-risk people in our population. So I want to give you and Danny and Merrick a high five. Now, we have somebody holding that's spoken and somebody on the phone that hasn't spoken. Who's the person that hasn't spoken yet?
So you go.
You
have 2 others on the line.
Oh.
Chanel Diaz.
Uh-huh.
And Deani's also on the line.
Okay, well, we've talked about a couple of topics here, but what am I forgetting to ask about? This is a very, very big topic we need to talk about. What should I ask, ladies? You help me.
So one of the important things that often gets overlooked is the fact that these programs will not just decrease transmission of HIV and hepatitis among our IV drug users, but it's also going to be protective for the partners of those IV drug users, people who may not use IV drugs themselves, people who may not even know about their partner's drug use. So this, the potential benefits in terms of public health are even farther reaching than, you know, initially you would expect.
And I think we're waiting on one more person to say something.
Right, and I just wanted to emphasize that this is a population that really is disenfranchised. It's really hard to reach. And in Hansel's survey, they found that a large chunk of them had never been in drug treatment programs, and over half had not been in a drug treatment program in the last year. And so this really will create an opportunity for us to reach this population, to decrease the transmission of HIV, but also to get them linked up to preventive services, to healthcare, and to drug treatment.
Well, you guys are my all-star team for health care and wellness in our community. I can't thank you as a resident of the city of Miami for everything that you're doing to help make our population more safe and more productive. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again next time on after this is passed, what the results really are. Thank you again so much.
Well, and you know, just because this is a business show, you didn't ask about the cost of these programs.
Well, that's because I don't have enough time.
Okay, we'll talk about that later.
Well, then you guys got to tell them to send you back next week, and we'll talk about the cost savings. But this saves our community money, doesn't it?
Exactly. When you prevent a lifetime of HIV treatment, which can run about $500,000, by giving someone a needle that costs 97 cents, you're saving the taxpayers of Florida a lot of money for paying for these patients' health care, who are mostly relying on public sources of funding for their health care needs.
I think I had enough time for that. We want to thank you guys from UHealth, for sending over the, I'll just have to call you the Don't Get Stuck team, huh? And thank you so much. And I want to make sure that I give Hansel the high five right here for all that you're doing for the people that don't even know you and will never meet you guys. You're the best. I got your team leader here, but I know all the guys on the phone are just as stellar as Hansel is. Thank you again for our community, for all you do.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
It's my absolute pleasure. My pleasure. Everybody, we'll be right back after this short. Break. Back after this, Lauren's holding.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take ya. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby.
At the heart of medical breakthroughs are doctors who refuse to accept the status quo. There's one health system that supports their efforts like no other, providing an environment that encourages innovation and life-saving discoveries. That's why world-renowned specialists in every field of medicine practice here, literally transforming medicine as we know it. Our doctors spend their lives discovering ways to save yours. And isn't that who you want taking care of you? We are UHealth, the University of Miami Health System, South Florida's most advanced medical care. Learn more at uhealthsystem.com or call 1-877-243-4340.
And now, WZAB traffic.
Delays on the Palmetto Expressway southbound between Northwest 74th Street and Northwest 25th Street. Also dealing with heavy delays on the Dolphin Expressway westbound between I-95 and Northwest 72nd Avenue. A breakdown in your express lanes, 95 northbound as you get towards 79th Street. Your left lane is closed. Delays on 595 westbound between the Florida Turnpike and University Drive. For more traffic, follow us on Twitter at TotalTrafficMIA.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we are back. All right, are we back? All right, we're back, South Florida, and we have got one of the true heroes in our society on the line. You heard from Hansel and his team. They're some good American heroes, but my American hero is Lauren Book. She's walking the state of Florida trying to bring awareness to the cause of Lauren's kids. Lauren, are you out there? Hello? Lauren, are you out there? Okay. Well, we're waiting for Lauren to call back. I just want to thank all the folks from UHealth that have been on and supporting us, and I hope you heard that segment on the UHealth Needle Exchange Program. And I want to also remind everybody that it's always a good business move to give your customers what they want. And that's why our friends at Warren Henry Family of Auto Dealerships, you know them as Land Rover, Range Rover, Volvo, Infiniti, and Jaguar, they all know this, and that's why they always give their customer more. When I leased my Infinitis from them, I knew I was getting the best price because they guaranteed it. Their best price guarantee is part of a package of benefits called the Warren Henry Advantage. And you get complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, and even a personal assistant that you can call for anything, anytime for a whole year. So if you buy or lease any new Land Rover, Range Rover, Volvo, Infiniti, or Jaguar from Warren Henry, or even if you buy one of their pre-owned cars, you'll get the Warren Henry Advantage too. Add in the exceptional service they deliver, and you'll see why they've been in business for over 3.5 decades. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry. Now, do we have Lauren back up on the line?
We'll call again.
We don't. Okay.
Well, this week we're focusing on prevalence and the topics surrounding childhood sexual abuse. You know, one of the things that we went to this week on Saturday was the Florida Civil Commitment Center in Arcadia, Florida. And that's where the most dangerous sex offenders go after they've served their prison sentence and are deemed too dangerous to get back into society.
Yeah, I was reading about that.
It was a very, very interesting visit. I had the opportunity to tour the facility and actually speak with the clinical director of the facility and one of the residents there. And when I asked the clinical director, can these pedophiles be quote-unquote cured? The answer was no. And, they can learn how to mediate some of the situations that cause them to feel triggered to sexually abuse children. But at the end of the day, the answer was no, they can't be cured. So it's really, we have to understand again that 1 in 3 young girls and 1 in 5 young boys will be sexually abused sometime in their lifetime, and that it's happening at an astounding rate. And we need to be paying attention to the issue.
Well, you know, one of the things that you're doing while you're going on your tour, Lord, is you're giving out those wristbands. I tweeted out on Friday my wristband on my wrist, and I got retweeted. And I must say is that Vivian, my beautiful, lovely wife, walks around with about 3 or 4 of them on her wrist every day. And yesterday, a young woman came up to her from, I'll just say it, from China. And she said that in China, they are abused on a regular basis, that nobody takes their claims seriously, and that it's something that's not only a physical crime, but in a lot of times a financial crime as well. And so it's not just a problem here in the United States.
No, it's all over the world. You know, one of the things that we're really focusing on is creating a society and a culture change here in Florida where the sexual exploitation of children is not tolerated. And unfortunately, in places all over the world, they are, children and young women are considered a commodity. That's the big thing with human trafficking, and that's something that we all need to pay attention to because it is happening domestically as well as throughout the world.
Well, the real point that I wanted to make about that was that these wristbands are effective, that they attract attention to, and it creates, I think, a comfort level with the person that might have been abused, that they can approach you and talk about it. the person just came right up to my wife. And that's one of the big issues, I think, is coming to grips with what happened, and that it's a mainstream problem, that the people that have this, that have had this occur to them, I don't really know what to say, how to describe it, people that have been impacted by this personally and directly, they're not alone, and they aren't the ones to be shamed.
Absolutely, and it's time that survivors shed the shame, because it's not for them to carry. And it's really important that people realize that it is okay to tell. And 95% of sexual abuse is preventable with education and awareness. And you and your wife do us an incredible honor and service by wearing those bracelets. You've joined our army, and we're asking your listeners to join our army as well. Because if one person tells one more person, tells another person, that's how we really create that culture change that we're talking about. And I so appreciate you joining our army.
Well, we appreciate you having us. We appreciate you empowering us. We appreciate you giving us the tools to do so. And we appreciate you joining us on our show to make sure that the entire reach of our audience knows that they shouldn't be shamed, that they should watch out for people that are overly ingratiating themselves to them, and that if something occurs, it's your personal responsibility and legal responsibility to talk about it.
Absolutely. It's not only our moral obligation, but our legal obligation. And your listeners can take the pledge at don'tmissthesigns.org that it's everyone's responsibility to report child sexual abuse. And if they suspect that children are being abused, they need to call the DCF hotline at 1-800-96-ABUSE.
Lauren, you're our hero. I know it's not too safe out there with the thunderstorms and everything else. We look forward to you coming back on the show next week to talk about next week's theme. But go out there and continue to change the culture of fear and repression.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you again for joining our army. We'll see you next week.
My pleasure. God bless, Lauren. Back after this short break with Bruce Turkell. We're going to talk about changing your brand and by keeping it simple. Bruce is with us, the man, ready for some laughs after this.
What does it mean when you're the first to use a patient's own stem cells to repair his damaged heart? When you're the first to develop life-saving techniques to treat a baby still inside its mother's womb. It means all at once, one health system becomes a magnet for world-renowned specialists in every field of medicine. A place where doctors spend their lives discovering ways to save yours. That's why every year our life-saving innovations attract patients from every corner of the globe. Shouldn't we be your first choice for healthcare too? We are UHealth, the University of Miami Health System, South Florida's most advanced medical care. Learn more at uhealthsystem.com or call 1-877-243-4340.
Hey everybody, this is John Mahoney with socialmedia305.com. Many of you might know us as the online voice for the Freedom Business Radio Show. And what we do, we provide you access to your community using social media platforms. Now, we know most businesses are looking to take advantage of this and stay in touch with their community and their customers, but they're not quite sure what platforms to use or even when to use them. We can help you overcome this hurdle. We know where the market is, how to find them, how to track the conversations, and most importantly, how to engage your brand. You can reach us at any time at 305-710-2273. Again, call us at 305-710-2273 or feel free to drop us an email at contact@socialmedia305.com. Again, that's contact@socialmedia305.com.
Every Every year in Florida, tens of thousands of children are abused or neglected. Many more continue to suffer because their abuse is never reported. In every case, there are signs. They may not be obvious. Reporting child abuse can save a life, and under Florida law, it's everyone's responsibility. Don't miss the signs. Report child abuse. Call 1-800-962-2873. Sponsored by the Florida Department of Children and Families, Lawrence Kids, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
I can believe it. I can't remember who it was. Well, this is Jim Freed, and I want to make sure that you realize that when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to make sure you get every advantage that you can, and that's why you have to check out Warren Henry Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, Volvo, and Jaguar. Exceptional cars, and they all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, and a personal assistant that you can always call for anything, anytime, for an entire year. Always the best price. Always the best service. Always Warren Henry.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, you busted me and Bruce talking about Grand Funk Railroad coming into town. Bruce's band is going to be opening for them, but we're going to talk instead today about how to build your brand by just keeping it simple. Bruce, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be back.
All right, well, listen, tell me what you mean by keeping it simple, and thank you for not adding the extra S there.
You know what happens? Most people are so busy building their business. They're so busy making sure they can do all the things their customers want, getting computers, se habla español, having trucks. And they say all that, and none of their customers care. The key to building a powerful, compelling brand is to make it so simple that you know what it stands for. You can say it in 3, 4, 5 words, and your customers can repeat it.
Coke is it.
Coke is it is a perfect example, and there's lots of them. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. That says it. You know everything they do and why it matters. Evernote. You use Evernote on your computer?
Yeah.
Everything, everywhere. I got it.
I understand it completely.
I can store every fact I need to store, and I can do it on my iPad, my iPod, my computer, wherever I want. Everything, everywhere. It's beautiful.
And you can share it.
Absolutely.
That's how it gets everywhere. Now, it's really, really simple stuff. My favorite simple logo is Miami.
Well, you know, Miami is a perfect example. Miami is made up of 36 municipalities, Miami-Dade County, that is. And everyone wants to promote themselves. And you can understand why. You got Sunny Isles, Miami Beach, North Miami Beach, Coral Gables, Coconut Grove, on and on and on and on. And wherever we live, we're rather provincial, and we think that's what matters. But you go 50 miles outside of Miami, Dade County, people know us as
Miami.
Miami, 5 letters. And what we've done is we've turned Miami into an adjective because now we've created this line. It's so Miami. So when you see something that you wouldn't see anywhere else, you say, it's so Miami. That tells you what the brand is all about.
Now, we're trying to keep it simple. We're here with Bruce Turkell. He's the branding expert. He's helping us rebrand Freed on Business and some of the other stuff we're working on. And Bruce is teaching us to just keep it simple. And we've been rebranding Freed on Business. And one of the comments I keep getting is, I don't get it. This doesn't go the right direction. This is too busy. I don't think I've learned the lesson yet.
You got to keep working on it. You know, what's that famous quote? Forgive me for writing such a long letter. I would have written a shorter one, but I didn't have enough time. Editing is hard work, especially when you're emotionally invested in what you're editing. So this is all about you. So you want to say, I do this, I do that. I'm really good at these things. But you got to keep cutting it back because your consumer, your potential customer, is not going to care. They're going to give you seconds when they see your messaging, and you'd better make your point.
And I got to tell you something else. As a consumer of emails on a daily basis, hundreds sometimes, you got to keep those simple too, because I've got to tell you, when I send an email, I make it a practice to cut out at least one sentence before I send it.
I think that's a beautiful idea. By the way, you can cut out the word that in everything you write almost every time you use it, and it will never change the meaning of your sentences.
True.
Simplicity is a very, very important thing. In fact, Thoreau said, simplify, simplify. Personally, I think if he really believed it, he would have only said it once, but that was the point. Always look to simplify. Think about when Nike got their brand message. And I know the guy from Wieden and Kennedy presented the three words, just do it. And you know somebody in the audience said,
I don't get it.
But it's built the largest brand of athletic apparel, not in the world, but in the history of the world.
Probably meant just go out and do it.
Just do it. Stop whining. Stop kvetching. I can't do it. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too rich. I'm too poor. I'm too healthy. I'm too sick. And Nike said,
just do it.
Just do it. Exactly right.
Just do it. Just do it.
They didn't say just do it because we're better. Just do it because we're cheaper. Just do it because we have fancy colors. Just do it because we have special construction. They said, just do it. And we did.
Yeah, and the thing that I like about these keep it simple things is that you can add on to them. And what I've learned in my brain is that when you're adding on and you're adding on in your brain, you don't forget. And you kind of become wrapped up in this in the slogan.
Well, because the slogan, as you said, sticks in your brain. Because then you say, oh, that's the guy who does that. That's the company that does this. I care because, and you can explain it. Here's the test. Go to your customers. Go to your employees, go to your friends. Say, what do we do? What does my company do? If they all say the same thing and they say it quickly, you've done your job. My guess is, ain't gonna happen.
You know, that makes that just makes it out that my guy that owns our company is a savant because everybody at my firm would answer the same thing. We provide capital.
Perfect. I get it. When do I call you? When I need capital.
High five to that. Tape that guy. Tape that guy. Tape that guy. Johnny gave the high five through the audio there, through the glass there. Now, Bruce, we've got you on for another few minutes. What are some good other examples of how people have kept it simple to their benefit?
Here's my favorite example. Think of the company Volvo. They're in the most complicated business
safety
in the world. Well, come on now. Don't give away the punchline. But think about it. You're right. Volvo sells safety. But what do they actually do? They make cars. They make trucks. They make engines. They manufacture. They do upholstery. They do paint. They do safety. They do engineering. They do gas mileage. They're in 140 countries. They have to have logistics, shipping product, different currencies, different languages, different regulations. Plus, think of the store. They're in the manufacturing business. They're also in the retail business. And at the retail level, they sell new product. They sell old product. They buy back old product. They even buy back and sell product that's not theirs. That's like taking something into Nordstrom's and they would resell it even though you didn't buy it there. They do all of that, all of those things. And yet they sell themselves with one word. You already said it, safety. That doesn't even mention their core competency, which is transportation.
Unbelievable. But they've tried to differentiate themselves within the silo of transportation by pulling out and making their own safety.
Exactly right. And now, who's to say, is a Volvo safer than a Chevy or than a BMW? We don't know.
Everybody on the street thinks they do.
Well, we think they are. And you'd say, if someone else says safety, you'll sell safety. You would say, I wonder if they're safe like a Volvo. Or you'll say, oh, that must be an ad for the new Volvo.
It's so amazing because when I first met my wife, she was driving a Volvo, and the reason she got it was because she was safe, because it made her feel safe. And now every time she looks at something, and we love working with Warren Henry, they offer her the Volvo, and you know she's a Volvo girl.
Yeah, because she gets it, and it resonates with her, and she feels good about it.
Yeah, yeah, and so do I. I like these clear and simple messages, being a Florida Gator, the Gator Nation. I thought that was just a great one.
And look what they did with that. They came up with a way you can greet each other. So you just say that. And all I have to say to you, two words, go Gators.
Oh, yeah. But my favorite is I walk up to people and I say, hey, go write the great American novel. I'm always the iconoclast on that one. But yes, everybody does go Gators. And I've also got to hand it to the local team. Everybody knows what happens when you put your two thumbs together and point up to the sky with each hand. You get the U.
Well, again, I'm a Gator, so
I gotta give them their due.
They
did a very good job on stealing a letter that every college has.
They did a very good job.
Now, what are some of the other good? Do you have a good example besides the city of Miami here locally?
Do I have a good example? There's lots of good examples. In fact, since I'm now figuring I'll be on once again maybe in the future. Let's have a homework assignment. And people should look now for brands that have simplified their message specifically to what resonates with the consumer, like Volvo and safety, and doesn't necessarily talk about what they do themselves, but what they do for you. That would be a great homework assignment, because what happens is it's hard to think of examples when you're doing it for yourself, right? Because you're proud of all the things you do. But then think about what Volvo has to not talk about in order to talk about safety. Think about Apple. Apple sells computing devices that are really very similar to everybody else's computing devices, but they sell the coolest computing devices. The design is spectacular, the user interface is spectacular, and what they do is they reduce the number of the products they sell. Essentially, they have the laptops, the desktop models, they have the phones, and they have the music devices. They reduce it to build a powerful, powerful brand.
Well, our studio guys told me we're running out of time, Bruce. How do people find you if they want to help have you keep them, help them keep them simple with their
brand?
The
easy way
message?
Is just to go online. My company is Turkel Brands, so turkelbrands.com is our website. I also publish every week a blog on branding and branding tips like these.
I love
it. That's just my name, bruceturkel.com. Both websites are related. Go to one, you'll find the other. I'd love to hear from you if you're interested.
Bruce, you're the best. I want to thank Bruce.
Thank you, Jim.
It's my pleasure, Bruce. So I want to thank our folks at UHealth for providing us with the very timely discussion today. I also want to thank the folks at IMN for bringing us our discussion on our discussion on buying investment residential housing. I want to thank Warren Henry Automotive, the NFL alumni, the Miami Dolphins, Social Media 305, the Miami Marlins, Lawrence Kids, the Aztec Group, Berger Singerman, UHealth. Thank you to our listeners. If you missed today's show, it'll be on later on in the week and on Freedom Business. Remember, the person that wants to do something finds a way. The other finds an excuse. Now go out there and make it happen.
Just do it.
McCoy, but down at home they call me Slim. Yeah, I'm looking for the king of 42nd Street. He drive on a drop-top Cadillac. Last week he took all my money, and it may sound funny, but I come to get my money back. And everybody say, Jack, don't you know that you don't tug on Superman's cape? You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull the mask off old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. But fell over the pool room, the Jimmy come bopping in an awful street. And when the cutting was done, the only part that wasn't bloody was the soles of the big man's feet. Yeah, he was cutting about 100 places, and he was shot in a couple more. And you better believe it's on a different kind of story when the